Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is Old School 93.7 Ticket and theticketfm.com. I am Austin Orman, but to my left, your right on stream, it is not Jay Foreman. It is not the Husker Hall of Famer. It's the owner, DP. Welcome into Old School, DP. A happy Tuesday afternoon to you.
Happy Tuesday. Good to be here.
Two is one of my favorite numbers right now because the Indianapolis Colts are 2-0.
What?
Who could have seen that coming?
What?
For the first time since Peyton Manning, the Sheriff, was winning his fourth NFL MVP in 2009. My Indianapolis Colts are 2-0.
Did
who'd have thunk?
Did you call him the Sheriff when he first got there?
No, not initially. He grew into the nickname.
Okay, he grew into it. Okay, I just wanted to be sure I understood the timetable involved. And
that also might be the first time I've actually ever called him the Sheriff in a conversation.
I call him Thespian. You know, I'm still. Sadly, I'm one of those people that I only think of Peyton Manning based fully on his Saturday Night Live appearance.
Incredible.
And that he as a human being, far more than a quarterback, is the actor who put together one of the great bits in all of SNL history. So to that, call him whatever you want to call him. Actor. Actor is what I want to call Peyton Manning.
Sports Reference lists three nicknames for Peyton.
Okay.
One of which is the Sheriff.
Okay.
Number two is the Caveman. And number three is Pay Dirt, P-E-Y, Dirt.
Okay, they're trying too hard.
Far too hard.
They're trying too hard, and I don't... Why?
Well, the Caveman comes from his well-covered... I don't want to say inadequacies, but his lack of knowledge of just how to do daily household chores, like his wife still having to teach him how to use a can opener back like 20 years ago.
Is that his wife's responsibility?
It shouldn't have gotten that far.
Right, Mom?
Should not have gotten that far.
Mom, Dad, Arch? Arch?
Archie? Cooper?
Coop,
maybe even Eli?
Anyone? Anyone?
He's a can opener?
Chuck Muncy, maybe Wes Chandler. Did anybody
Tom Moore?
Like, was there any Husker? Was there any New Orleans Saints legend who was in the Tom Dempsey? Even I don't know if there was something. I'm trying to understand how is that possible. I know that he has an 8 head. Like it's not a 4 head. It is an 8 head. I understood it. He's responsible for the reemergence of Omaha as a cultural contact point. Mm. Like everybody understands it, the reference to it. As a matter of fact, there are places we did a count of how many places you could actually use Omaha and have it be appropriate. Hmm. Right. So at the dinner table, when something's passed that you don't want, Omaha, which means
something else. Something. Checking out of it.
We're changing it. Your way of telling your friends that your blind date is not exactly what you expected. Omaha! I need you to bail me out right now. There's a list of things. That caveman and no, those were not a part of it.
Eric says, don't forget Peyton Manning.
Payton. Yeah.
Well, that to me, I don't get as much in the football sense.
No, it's the baseball. Again, you're painting. No. This is the actor. Once again, an endorsement and an appearance that just blossomed. That is where Peyton Manning excelled. I understand that his ability to compete with Tom Brady on a high level certainly plays into this thing. His ability to come up with, in two different cities and maybe be 1A, 1B quarterback in either of those cities. I fully understand it. I get it. But him as an actor.
Because then you have to add the nationwide Brad Paisley chicken parm. You taste so good.
Right. Like, I'm not sure that's how it goes. Yeah. Like, I mean, he legitimately is in that conversation of unique talent. But no, I cannot caveman. I don't want to do that to him.
No, nor do I. Not where I saw that going. That is classic old school here. Brought to you by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese. Really appreciate them. There are 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. Every type of meat, every type of cut, as well as so much more. Again, 3 locations for you. Brian T, spend time with your kids so Peyton doesn't have to. That is
see,
the line.
See, that 100% that is appropriately who he is to me. Mm-hmm. What is the legacy? Aside from Omaha, and I got in trouble with some folks in Denver and asking, what is Peyton Manning's legacy to football?
Peyton's legacy to football, I mean, I think he's going to be inextricably tied to Ryan Leaf, that draft, that decision.
Okay.
You have the two tails, right? One went one way, one went the opposite way. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be tied to, up to that point, probably a top 5 offense over the course of 5 years in NFL history.
Losing to Nebraska.
Obviously.
Being Archie's son. Eli's older brother. Now Arch's
uncle.
Super Bowl champion. 2-time Super Bowl champion.
2-time Super Bowl champion.
He gets more credit because of the fact that they're 2 cities.
Probably. I think he gets most of the credit due to the comeback from the injury, because I don't think he wins another one in Indy. You know, I think it was best for Peyton's career.
Look at you.
That he went to Denver.
Look at you just throwing him under the bus, throwing the Colts under the bus.
No, they deserve it. Yeah. Look at the teams that he was playing with late in his tenure, yeah, and what Andrew Luck had around him.
Yeah.
No, they weren't winning another one in Indy. They would have been a playoff team still, but
how long will it take them to win another?
I will be lucky if they win another one in my lifetime.
Like, there's no foreseeable, like, there's no practice, like a quarterback that we don't even know yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard of him.
Right.
Maybe he's been bored. We'll see.
Or maybe, transfer portal comes to the NFL and a quarterback, but I'm not even, like, maybe, well, Josh Allen would never leave Buffalo and go to Indy.
Indy's a nicer town than Buffalo, though. I'm just saying that to make sure Jay Foreman is listening. Oh, I just want to make his ears perk up.
Whatever he was doing just now, his gray hair, his salt and pepper hair just stood up. Like, it just stood up on it. He goes, doggone it, Austin. What did you say?
And you know I would say that to his face.
What did you say? Justin Herbert, maybe?
No, West Coast guy. Cali guy. Really,
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor's a Southeast
gettable,
guy.
But gettable.
Not in division, though?
Gettable.
Really what you're hoping for is kind of the model that they have going now, where they can build everything around the quarterback unless they draft another one, because I don't think Indy's going to be that free agent destination.
So this is really Daniel Jones or bust
for now.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I'm sorry.
That's where we're at.
You mm-hmm. need a hug.
I've been on the Daniel Jones scares the crap out of me train all offseason.
Yeah, you deserve a hug. Wow, bro, my bad.
No, it's how we do.
My bad.
How it goes.
Yeah.
Which, it's just been such a wild ride over the last 7 years of Colts fandom. Going from Peyton with the 1-year interim to tank for either RG3 or Andrew Luck. I still don't know who for sure got the better of that deal, but I tend to believe the Colts did. But also, since it's in the news, DP, Joe Burrow has been sacked more times already in his career than Andrew Luck was in six full seasons.
Joe Burrow got sacked going into surgery. they can't protect him anywhere.
Nope.
You and I actually had the conversation that before we gave flowers to Joe Burrow, we really had to ensure that Cincinnati would protect him. Mm-hmm. It took them 2 weeks. It took them two weeks to not take care of that. And at some point, maybe he's the Colts savior. Maybe he just decides that I need to get out of here. I need to go get a running back. I can't do this in Cincinnati, close enough proximity as well.
It kind of fits the Peyton Manning mold.
Right. That you're not going to get what you want where you are. Mm-hmm. You had your moment there, and now it's time for the next thing.
Prime Kirk Cousins could have done the same numbers in Indy that he did in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and if not, he goes to Las Vegas. He becomes a Raider and makes us all miserable. but yeah, it's the thing, and you feel bad for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, here's the other option.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy.
Man, that performance in New Orleans, and 49er fans are so emotional. They're just the most emotional, caught up in the moment fans in the history of mankind. You have all the Super Bowl rings. Like you cheated. You had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks before anybody knew you had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Because you had Y.A. Tittle and John Brody, right? Like, and nobody, do we really count John Brody? But we do, right? We do.
We're told we should.
Right, like it's a thing. And then you get lucky because you shot your shot and got Steve DeBerg. But then Joe Montana falls and nobody pays attention. So you get your Drew Bledsoe moment and he falls out of the way. So Montana gets the gig, wins it. Oh, by the way, let's crash an entire league and get Steve Young, who was just hanging out in L.A., really just picking grapefruits and having a good time. Mm-hmm. So he's your backup to Joe Montana. Wait a minute.
So to that point, are the Niners the Lakers in that way of the NFL?
100%.
Because people would say it's the Cowboys, but the Cowboys haven't had that level of dudes just fall into their lap and take advantage of pretty much all of them.
The Cowboys are the Detroit Pistons. Remember when they were good?
I do.
Remember when they were really good?
Oh, they're back now. My boy Cade Cunningham leading the charge.
Oh, boy.
You thought I was on DeForest Buckner last week? Wait till I get on Cade Cunningham, DP.
Right. Oh, my goodness gracious. Like it,
but yeah,
it's fantastic, right? That you're in the conversation for being the franchise until the Brady Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. And even then, still in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Pittsburgh, it should have been there, but you allowed Neil O'Donnell to quarterback a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
not my fault.
Well, and can I say this?
Yeah,
and Terry Bradshaw.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Well, but Bradshaw never lost.
Bradshaw's numbers aren't pretty.
They didn't have to be.
He's got the winner attached to him. I'm just saying, Terry Bradshaw did less in his Super Bowls than Tom Brady did in his.
Oh, no. No. Terry Bradshaw played a different game.
He did.
They played a different game. Listen, They did things to Terry Bradshaw in those Super Bowls that Tom Brady, they would have, an act of Congress would have stopped the game and demanded an apology from the opponents. If they hit Tom Brady the way they hit, they beat up on Terry Bradshaw during those Super Bowls. You can go to those Super Bowls. Look, Terry Bradshaw on three touchdown throws went unconscious. I'm not sure he said in one of those, he didn't even remember the second half. He didn't even remember he played the game, and he didn't remember because he played it concussed. Like, in full, it's a different game.
It is.
So when when you compare quarterbacks, I always say this, the eras matter.
Big time.
That Terry Bradshaw, let me circle this for you. Terry Bradshaw never played in the biggest game of his career and wasn't the best quarterback on the field. Not once. Not once. Think about that. You're talking about being undefeated on the biggest day of your career against the best opponent you can face. Mm-hmm. And Bradshaw was never better than. He was never, literally, he never had to go across the field and shake a quarterback's hand and go, man, you were better today. Mm-hmm. So that part, now, mind you, Austin Orman may have been able to court throw to Betty Cunningham, John Stallworth, Lin Swan, Franco Harris, and Rocky Blyer. I'm pretty sure that Austin could have put up some numbers. He wouldn't have taken the beating, but he certainly could have delivered the ball. So, but I think all of that is in play, that he was that good. I think the guy that gets too much credit as a quarterback, Joseph Willie Namath, 100% gets too much credit. And on a day where, quite frankly, he just handed the ball off to Matt Snell and Emerson Boozer.
Better Hall of Fame case, Joe Namath or Eli Manning?
Eli Manning. Eli Manning went toe-to-toe with the GOAT. With the GOAT. Now, as I say that out loud, I also have to say that Joe Willie Namath did it against the current GOAT. He did it against, well, he did it against Earl Morrill. But Johnny Unitas was on the team. Right. He was on the team. And people still feel like the FBI has an incomplete investigation of Earl Morrill for throwing that football game. Like, when your own teammates say, hey, man, we kind of think you threw the game. Like, and the fact that he did it at 41 years old. Like, Earl.
Earl.
You had a quarterback named Earl. Speak to it.
So Eli Manning, four-time Pro Bowler, two Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP in both games, and 2016 Walter Payton Man of the Year. Joe Willie Namath, five-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, one Super Bowl, also AFL champion, one Super Bowl MVP, AP AFL Rookie of the Year.
Give me those touchdown and interception numbers Austin Orman.
Terrible. Eli was essentially 2-1, or 1.5-1, 366 versus 244.
And
Joe Willie, 173 against 220. I'll leave it up to you to believe which was touchdowns and interceptions.
That boy was Santa. That boy was Santa Claus.
Joe Namath's overall record, 62-63-4.
62-63-4.
50% completion.
Bro.
50%.
I understood that in that era. Now, mind you, I'm old school to that they were asked to do things and play under circumstances that were not. The turf fields. Oh, do it in mud and snow, my friend. Do it in mud and snow, and you will like it. So throwing the football and then having antiquated systems to do so. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about the Len Dawson, Daryl LaMonica, what's Kemp's first name, the congressman?
Oh.
Not Jeff Kemp's dad. You're talking about, for Buffalo, they didn't have the Greg Landry at quarterback. Bobby Woo! Douglas. Bobby Douglas at quarterback. For Lynn Dickey for the Green Bay Packers. You're talking about a different era of football and quarterback play. So it's certainly, thank you, John Hadel, for being the elite ball tosser. And
Eric says, Austin, how dare you say anything positive about Brady? That was the lowest possible bar of a compliment I could give him. I want to go to this from Ben, though, DP.
Uh-huh.
Does Patrick Mahomes get too much credit?
No.
Let's not minimize greatness.
No, no.
The dude is legit. He's ridiculous.
Listen, the Mahomes rules apply. And the, as they should, the Brady rules apply. We don't say it, mm-hmm. but they do. Mm-hmm. That he gets beat up at a very high level. As a matter of fact, how many of the biggest games he played in, he limped through, and in big moments he mm-hmm. he made plays. Look, he turned Travis Kelce into a Hall of Fame tight end. Let's
same with Tyreek Hill.
If Alex Smith is still the quarterback, I'm not sure Travis Kelce is in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Right. Like I think that's clear. And you still don't have a 1A runner
or receiver.
Right. Like currently just going, you got some guys. No dudes.
No, just guys.
Some guys.
You got some Jimmies and maybe some Joes.
Just some guys. Mm-hmm. Just to have, you got some Chads. you got some Steves. You got some Timmies. But you had no dudes. And give him full credit for no running game. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that to an elite quarterback. We say that, listen, but it also tells you how good Travis Kelce is because he's kept that thing moving. And yes, it's at the tail end of it because mm-hmm. it always happens when you have that kind of usage over the course of a decade. Mm-hmm. Your body is just going to say, hey, man, and oh, by the way, Taylor Swift. So other responsibilities and other focuses have taken effect.
Ben says, why you're not reading the second half of my text? Well, Ben, it's because that's been pretty well debunked in terms of overall penalties and such. But I think, sure, there's some situations where it's a little questionable, but overall, I don't think the refs are to blame for Patrick Mahomes making the plays that he does. But here's the other part of that,
yeah.
DP.
Yeah.
Ben's a Bears fan. The Bears are about to get back on track against the Cowboys.
Oh,
sounds like yeah. a guy who's just really upset the Bears passed on Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, boy. Oh,
sorry,
boy.
Ben.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow. I'm sorry, Bears fans. Austin, there's a name for every psychological path that people go down, right? That, afraid of height, you know, that, you mm-hmm. know, you understand.
There's a phobia.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is the Bears phobia? What do you call a Bears fan? What sort of mental boundary is there for Bears fans? What would you call that? Because there's some That's trauma. Tough. There's some trauma.
Right.
There's it's certainly a disturbance.
It's incompetence, I guess, from the team's end of things.
What
you
do
know?
You call that?
Someone's trying to say Stockholm syndrome. You know, you get into it, you just can't. You
always think talk yourself into I it. Always think Die Hard.
Yeah, Ben says masochism.
I.
Yeah, maybe it's in there.
Is there a fan base more in need of a hug than the Bears? Cowboys?
Bears have been bad. Milwaukee and Milwaukee Brewers are going to get the one seed and still lose in excruciating fashion.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to get the one
Rockies
seed.
Fans,
like
the Rockies. Pirates fans. I mean, think the Pirates and the Bears are kind of in the same category.
You
some
have
ways.
The Bears, Browns have fans. So much long history. The long also Harrison and I have these conversations late at night, so we're here till midnight, and often we end up fully engaged in Chicago Bears lore. And it is
lore.
Yeah. Well,
what era and Rex Grossman.
Well, Gore was where we end up. Lore is where we start. Gore is where we end
sure,
up.
Sure.
And to say, and again, any reason I can get to go down the list historically of Chicago Bears quarterbacks, it brings me a level of joy that Christmas Eve can't match.
Well, it's the Bears and the Dolphins and the Browns in terms of the quarterbacks. Those are your lists.
Dolphins, but you had Marino and Greasy. Like you and we don't talk about Bob Greasy enough, right? We don't
he's
talk
Michigan
about
guy.
Purdue guy.
Purdue
he's,
guy.
Sorry. He's Purdue
was
guy. He's Purdue guy.
There's a Greasy at Michigan, wasn't he?
Brian.
Yeah, Brian. Okay.
Brian. His
yeah,
son was Michigan. Right. He but and then also that brings us full circle back to Earl Morrill. Because the undefeated season doesn't happen without Earl Morrill, because Greasy was limping around with a torn right. Achilles, right? But Earl Morrill, once again, to the rescue. And again, Granddad Morrill showing up. Just showing up, man. Him and George Blanda, I still need to, we need to do some real history, because George Blanda out there with fully gray hair and high top black boots playing quarterback and kicker at the same time.
Woo!
That, bruh, you sexy dog. You, George Blanda is one of the most underrated heroes in all of NFL history, because that dude was 45. Out here playing quarterback, dropping back,
and
throwing bombs,
kicking, baby.
And kicking. Like, I'm going to throw the touchdown and kick the extra point. That, yeah.
Jeremy and Lincoln throws out the Mariners.
But you had Junior. You had Big Unit.
But your 116-win team lost to the Yankees.
But you
got the best team.
You got Junior.
But every team has an icon. Not every team has postseason lasting, meaningful success.
Post Walter Payton. Give me an icon.
That's what I'm saying.
Brian Urlacher is not an icon. I hate to tell you, he's
Lance
not.
Briggs.
What do you do? You gave him up.
Charles Peanut Tillman?
Like, you had Cleo Mack and said, no, we don't want that kind of greatness. We're not going to do that sort of thing.
Is Lovey the icon post Peyton?
Lovey should have been.
Not the Super Bowl.
Lovey should have been. I don't know. I mean, if you tell me.
Jay Cutler? Smoking Jay?
Oh, man, that made my stomach hurt.
Matt Forte.
That made my stomach hurt. That you really have to rely on Devin Hester.
You do.
Like, that's where you land.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you land. Ken Griffey Jr. and Devin Hester. You are really, sir. Chicago, if you are a Bears fan, and then multiply that by the fact that if you're a Bears fan, you're probably a Cubs fan. So you really went through some stuff.
But at least the Cubs paid it off.
They paid it off. They did. I mean, you know.
They've been respectable since then.
But you did get the Bulls. So I guess, you know, you can't have everything.
Right. Which we don't talk enough about how the Bulls have one era. They have the greatest 7, 8, 9 year run since the Lakers, since Showtime.
Celtics.
Well, Celtics into Showtime, into Bulls.
Pistons.
A Bulls run was better.
Maybe.
Winning 6 championships in 8 years?
Yeah, but you did it. The Bulls don't exist without the Pistons. The Pistons
I can agree with that.
The Pistons bad boy had to, like, literally this was Nebraska before people came in and settled into.
Well, I'm just saying in terms of big picture for the Bulls.
6 wins, 9 years.
They have that one era of success.
Yeah.
Before Jordan got there,
yeah.
Forgettable. And not around very long. It was an expansion franchise. And then since then,
well,
mediocre play-in team. They have the one
They had the Derrick Rose, Jalen.
Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson.
They had the run, right? But never got it done.
That was the pain. They're the right. One seed. Rose is in at the end of the game, tears his ACL, and he's never the same.
Here's how old I am. When you say Chicago Bulls, I go back to, you ready for this?
Hit me.
I'm going to give you some names.
Veteran DeForest Buckner?
I'm going to give you Tom and Dick Van Arsdale, the twins.
Hello.
the balding twins of the backcourt Bulls with Norm Van Leer.
There's a name.
Chet Love at the small forward. And some combination of Artis Gilmore at the big. Pre Orlando Woolridge.
Oh, baby.
And guess what? The defensive player of the year in the late great Jerry Sloan.
Jerry
Sloan just locking down people on the wing. So yeah, that's how I think of the Bulls. And the boy, they were that you want to talk about a dry bread basketball program. The Chicago Bulls back in the day? Oh, my goodness. Go find pictures of Tom and Dick Van Arsdale.
We'll go to break and I'll do that because I'm in for something.
They look like some guys.
Text line, keep it coming, 402-464-5685. If your fandom is suffering, you need a hug. Let us know. We'll see what we can do when we get back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All We're back here on Old School Fandoms That Need a Hug. Adam says, I'm a Husker fan. 2 years ago, there weren't enough hugs in the world. Feels like there's been a little bit of a corner turn, DP, but I think that's a great segue into where we're at now. Just how big, just how important is this game against Michigan coming up on Saturday for this Nebraska football program?
So if folks haven't been paying attention, the ticket goes until midnight. It goes to midnight. And from 10 o'clock to midnight, I take Harrison Orange down some rabbit holes of all rabbit holes. We go all over the place. But then to go through, we had this conversation last night in that I wanted to be careful. I was trying to be responsible. I wanted to be accountable, and I wanted to not take the low-hanging fruit and ask the question, how big is this the biggest game in Nebraska football history in the last 8 years? In the last 8 years, this is the biggest moment in all of the last 8 years for Nebraska football. And if that is true, how did we get here? I felt like the talking heads. Well, how did we get here? Because a year ago, Nebraska was 3-0. And I asked the same question.
And that's why, to me, this feels like a do-over for Nebraska from last year. 3-0 in the non-con. More impressive for Nebraska this year than last year. Maybe it's not a turning point or inflection point for the program, but it might be for the season, right? And I'm with you. I don't want to go overboard and say, oh, this is the biggest Nebraska game in so long. Because I think that's the danger of a week like this against a program like Michigan. You know, two blue blood brands going up against one another, but they're both finding themselves. They're both soul searching in a lot of ways. So it's a big game because it's the next game. It's a big game because it's cool to see those two brands on the field at the same time.
It's a helmet game.
It's a helmet game, absolutely.
It's a helmet game. It's the first helmet game of the year.
But that's why it's a big game. To me, I still don't think this program is in a spot to say, this is the game where we can say everything has officially turned around. To me, if Nebraska is able to win against Michigan, that's one we'll maybe point back to in 3-4 years and say, aha, they found something going into that game, they validated it, and they keep taking off from there. But think about, you know, last year, Illinois came in, not the exact same offense that Michigan runs, but do a lot of similar things. Altmyer and Underwood, more similar than people give them credit for, I think. And Nebraska couldn't pay it off against Illinois. Competed, hung tough, had every opportunity to win the game, didn't do it. To me, this feels like a mulligan for Nebraska that not many teams or programs ever get.
So remember the two non-cons that were not impressive, right? So UTEP and Northern Iowa. Expected results, expected space in between, you know, 33-point win, a 31-point win. And then a three-score win against Colorado. A three-score win at home against Colorado. Night game, all the feels.
94 in the building.
All the feels, right? And then here comes Illinois. And at home, the opportunity, several opportunities. Remember, this is a game that went to overtime. Went to overtime. Had some opportunities. Now, I hate to paint the picture, but man, an overtime loss against Michigan this week sucked. It would absolutely suck. Which led to opportunity, right? Remember, this program was 5-1 last year. It's 5-1.
Yeah.
5-1. Biggest game of the season. Last year. Biggest game of the season. Indiana. Oops.
Yeah, that didn't go Nebraska's way, did it?
Oops. Oops. Down the hatchet. Down the hatchet. I don't want to say that this game means everything. But what narrative are we discussing? And what question do we want to answer? Do we want to know if the program is a good program? Do we want to know if the team is a good team? Do we want to know, are the bill of goods exactly what we've been told, right? Have we been getting truths? Can we buy in? Mm-hmm. Will they take our money? Right? Because this is the community that's ready to give all of its money to this program. But then if it doesn't, and the accountability matters, we also understand that, oh, people will just put that money back in the pocket and keep moving. Mm-hmm. I think it's that important. I think it's that important to validate all of the 8 years of emotional stress that Husker fans have gone through. Listen, at some point, you got to begin to heal. At some point, you've got to let the people you care about heal. And the easiest, simplest way for that to happen is beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. Listen, a whole lot of evils will be exercised. We will be exercising the demons of Husker football past, recent past, by beating a Michigan team that I don't think anybody would be fully surprised if they beat Michigan, but I think we would be disappointed if they don't.
The goal is not to walk out of Memorial Stadium with the same record.
Right. Right. And Michigan's a 2.5-point favorite, which I have some issue with, because if you're telling me that Michigan is 6 points better than Nebraska if they were playing at Ann Arbor, really? Like, what do you think the spread would be in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Michigan by a touchdown, probably. If I had to guess.
And we would take that, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think the other game that this reminds me of, not in terms of style play or anything, but just in terms of the conversation around it in super big picture, is when Oregon came here in year two under Mike Riley. Ranked team, big brand, not what they had been. Certainly promising. Now, that team started Dakota Prukop at quarterback.
Sir.
There is that.
Sir.
But, you know, Mark Helfrich or Sharon Moore, who's a better coach? Guess we won't find out because Sharon Moore's on the sideline for his self-imposed suspension in the middle of the season.
Is it Podgy or Pogi?
Pogi.
Pogi.
If Pogi is the interim, the next couple games for Michigan.
And I got the Biff part.
Yes. Excellent.
I got the Biff part.
The point, I guess, I'm trying to make by bringing up the Oregon comparison is big brand name in a vulnerable position or not as strong a position as it had been in the recent past. Right. Now, the point about vulnerability isn't to say it's going to be a cakewalk. Sure. You know, that Nebraska team that beat that Oregon team could have been 8-4 the year before. Guess what? They weren't. They had the late game woes. They didn't pull through. They win the bowl game against UCLA. And then what do? They validate it the next season by winning 9 games. And then the wheels fall off at the end. But it started out like, hey, they actually did carry over some momentum with a lot of the pieces returning from 15 to 16. Again, setup kind of similar this year. You win your bowl game last year. You build off of it in the non-conference this year. Mm-hmm. And I know this is the first conference game for Nebraska, not a big non-con game, but Oregon was still a big brand. They still are. You know, in 2016, yeah, they're not at the Chip Kelly heights after he left for the NFL for the first time. Still a big brand name. Still a top 25 team. But they're in a gettable position. It feels more attainable for Nebraska against Michigan, to me, to a similar degree like it did against Oregon, where there are going to be a lot of eggs of Nebraska fans being put in this Michigan basket. It can mean a lot, but it can't mean everything. But one loss to Michigan, in my opinion, shouldn't invalidate everything that Nebraska earned with the goodwill from the bowl win, first one in a while, in these first three non-conference games. It'll be eye-opening. But it shouldn't invalidate anything if it doesn't go Nebraska's way.
I'm going to try not to speak for all Husker fans because I know, again, I know fully that I can speak for a third. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a third that, quite frankly, are going to be extremely disappointed if this does not go well. There's a third that we're going to be fine, fully expected, okay. And a third in the middle going, you know what? I'm going to, based on how they play, and how this ends, right? Because how it ends will matter to that middle third.
Yeah.
It won't matter to either side of it, yeah. Right? Then you have to be considerate of what the focus will be. Winning, playing well, and put that in air quotes, mm-hmm. ability to finish, right? How many of the things that have haunted the program past, recent past, reappear? Because if things go right, if the things go left, some stuff that we don't want to see anymore showed up again. Mm-hmm. Turnovers, penalties, etc. If it goes right, oh, some things happen.
Or maybe that stuff popped up and you handled it. Right. Either way.
And then your ability to finish. Mm-hmm. And so whatever box you're in, Husker fans, you're right. Husker, whatever way you approach Saturday is right because it's been earned. There's enough history and resume for it.
Couple things to that point about finishing. Michigan under Sharon Moore. Again, 15 whopping games. Not a huge sample size. Yep. When Michigan scores first, they're 7-1.
Uh-huh.
They give up the first score, they're 2-5.
Hello.
Okay. When Michigan leads after three quarters, they're 8-1.
Okay.
When they trail after three quarters, they're 0-5. They've been in one game that's been tied through three quarters and they won it. What does that tell me? Start fast, make Michigan play from behind.
Yeah, well, I mean, the front runner profile for Michigan certainly plays. I would imagine that Nebraska is similar.
Yeah, I mean, every team should be better in that right? situation. Right.
That it would
but it makes sense with Michigan's style of play, the way they're constructed, the way they're built.
Well, you have an athletic quarterback this year that could change some of that.
Could.
Right? That in late minute, if they're down, you want to force them to throw the ball and throw it consistently well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Nebraska feels bad if Underwood just throws them to victory. I think they'd feel bad if he ran them to victory.
I want to play this from John Butler real quick. I know we'll go to break here in just a moment. But I think to that point, John Butler was asked, you know, how creative, how exotic can you get against a true freshman quarterback? I really liked how John Butler answered that question. Here's what Nebraska's DC had to say.
Key in football, experience is key in life. So the more he sees in games, the better he's going to be down the line. It's our job. You know, we've got to stop the run and put them into advantage situations for us where we can then affect him. If they're in advantage situations, first and 10, second and 5, third and 3, the whole game, that's an easy game plan, an easier game plan for a quarterback to execute. But if we're stopping the run, putting him behind the chains, forcing him to play quarterback in a drop back system, you know, then that'll allow us to maybe do some more things to affect him. And
we'll stop that there. You earn the right to affect a freshman quarterback. He's not going to walk in rattled just because he's a freshman. Nebraska's got to do the rattling.
They said some things in their presser yesterday. Pogi. In his presser yesterday said some things about environment and Nebraska being one of the hardest places to play. Fans will be loud, they'll be excited, all those things. But he needs to not make things bigger than they are. And that is an important thing. And so he mentioned it. He talked about it. I would imagine that was a point of that's a bulletin board stuff. That's some high practice repetition verbiage. Do not make the play. Just make the play, whatever that is.
Well, the message can be the same for Nebraska. Make 100%. It big, but not bigger than it needs to be.
100%.
When we get back, $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings on the line for you. Got some trivia and some more stats for Nebraska. Michigan, full hour of a Nebraska football, Nebraska basketball conversation as well. That's all coming up at 4. We'll wrap up hour one of Old School in just a sec.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour one of Old School. DP, number between 1 and 10 for me, if you would, please.
Theismann-esque 7.
7. All right, here's the question for $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. 2 Lincoln locations, 68th and now and 40th and Old Cheney. Before Bryce Underwood, who is the most recent true freshman quarterback to start a season opener for the Michigan Wolverines? Before Bryce Underwood, who is the most recent true freshman to start a season opener for the Michigan Wolverines? 402-464-5685. While we wait for that answer, some more stats on Michigan DP. I was going to do this one, but I knew there'd be no shot without the Google machine. Mm-hmm. Michigan has only lost 5 out of its last 56 Big Ten openers. Okay. Those 5 losses have come to 2 teams. Do you know which two teams are the only teams in the last 56 seasons to beat Michigan in a Big Ten opener?
In the last how many years?
56. But really, you can just go back to 1981. So you can just do the last 45 years.
But that, is this sort of a trick question?
No.
So Big Ten.
Big Ten openers.
So currently in the Big Ten, even if they played when the other team wasn't in the Big Ten?
No. I will just tell you that these are Big Ten charter members. I'll give you that hint.
So then I would almost say, because they never play the rivalry game, so it's not Michigan State. It's not Nebraska. It's not Ohio State. Let me pull from the rabbit's hat and say Northwestern.
It is not Northwestern. Huh. I like where your head is at.
Yeah.
Four of the five Big Ten opener losses for Michigan have come on the road in Camp Randall.
Wow.
Wisconsin.
Okay, that makes sense.
21-14 and 81.
Who's the other?
Goldie. 2014, Minnesota goes into the Big House and knocks off Michigan in the Big Ten opener.
So, yeah, Minnesota was would kind of make sense because it is a game that would be played in the opener. I don't know why I can't imagine that the Big Ten opener would be Wisconsin for Michigan. Like that's a weird sort of together, but bravo, well done to the Goldie
yeah. Didn't
win. Okay,
four times at Camp Randall, once at the Big House to Minnesota. All right, we have the answer. 0778. You will be the winner of the $30 to Buffalo Wings and Ring. Some of the incorrect guesses. Mm-hmm. Denard Shoelaces Robinson. Mm-hmm. Not him.
That's where I would have gone.
J.J. McCarthy, also incorrect. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh, no. Jim Harbaugh did not start for them as a true freshman. The answer, how about this? Tate Forcier.
Oh, for Tate the love of everything good.
Forcier in 2009.
Oh, this is, you went elbow deep into the rabbit's hat.
I did. I'm trying to find the names because I got this as I was waiting for the coordinator's presser today. I was looking through Michigan's game notes.
Oh, yeah.
And that immediately stood out.
Yeah, that's pretty spectacular. Their notes were, those are rabbit holes you cannot get out of the name.
Okay, I found it. Found the list. Yeah. There have been four true freshmen to start a season opener for Michigan. Hmm. Obviously, Bryce Underwood, Tate Forcier, like I just said. Mm-hmm. Chad Henne in 2004. And Rick Leach in 1975.
I said number seven.
You did. We did not get seven people with the right answers, though. 0778 is the closest to number seven.
Man, so. Rick Leach. Pretty good baseball player, too.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty good baseball player back in the day. Hmm. Left-hander.
Ah.
Nastiness.
The more you know.
Yeah. I ran across him at a softball, celebrity softball game, and he was hitting bombs. Ah. He was hitting bombs, so it was like, okay,
lefty lefty, or did he throw righty bat lefty?
Hit lefty.
Nice.
Yeah. He was a dude. That was kind of the Michigan thing, was multi-sport athletes. Drew Henson falls in that category.
Tom Brady.
Brady was a multi-sport guy. Denard Robinson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that tends to be, I guess maybe that's a quarterback thing. Maybe that's a Big Ten quarterback thing where a lot of the guys. All the way back.
To me, too, it's almost just a high school thing. What size of high school did you go to? And, you know, sometimes these elite athletes can play multiple sports. It's still a big high school.
Even in 6A, most of my quarterbacks, no matter what area, I had shortstops and third basemen who were quarterbacks. Mm. Catchers. We're generally middle linebackers and centers. Second baseman, the center fielder was always a wide receiver. The corners, you can get a power guy at first base that was a tight end along the way. So you usually match them up. Basketball, I had a bunch of tight ends that played power. My four. My threes tended to be wide receivers and runners. Mm. Point guards were, you know, could be running backs and receivers.
Occasionally quarterback too, though. You like to have a quarterback and a point guard run in the show.
at high level basketball, it wasn't that often that that the star quarterback was the star point guard. That
just
maybe a two guard, maybe a two guard, maybe a two. I think back to Ronald Curry in the state of Virginia. Allen Iverson, of course, but he technically played the two. Vic Curry, I think of Virginia elite quarterbacks, DeMatha, Foothill, where some of those guys were quarterbacks and point guards, but usually it was the two.
You left out the most elite point guard quarterback combo. Played both these sports in college.
Elway.
Greg Paulus.
Oh, wow. Is it Ray or Ron?
I don't remember. Well, Greg, the Duke guy. He went to Syracuse to play quarterback.
I think of, Elway was Elway was the quintessential two-sport guy.
Yeah.
At quarterback.
Who made the worst decision of his life in not going through the Kansas City Royals system.
Shame on you.
Shame on him.
Shame on him. Charlie Ward also falls in that. Yep. But I think that Charlie spent a lot of it too. Like, and did he play point guard for the Knicks or did he play two?
I thought he did. I thought Charlie was a point guard.
Yeah.
We'll go to break after I find this here.
Well done. Well done.
Charlie Ward is listed as a point guard.
Okay.
On Basketball Reference.
Yeah. So there are some.
Indeed, there are.
Yes.
We'll go to break. We will have more Old School Hour 2 of the show right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.